Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen over the top.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Up, LAFB fans, you are listening to the Bruin Bible right now, but we want to bring to you our sponsor for the show. It's Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals. I know our guy Madman will be all over that. The big tennis fan of the bunch. Major League Baseball, Dodgers in the midst of a big-time season, highest payroll in the league, three MVPs in the lineup. Can they figure it out? The latest fighting news, a huge MMA fight coming up this weekend for the UFC, and even next season's early NFL futures. I know you guys will be hammering the Rams and Chargers overs on the futures for next season. Head to our website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LAFB to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. What is up, Bruin Bible listeners? We officially have college football playing. The Bruins played yesterday. I'm joined by my guy, LAFB founder, the godfather himself, Ryan Dyrud, in the house. He was at SC yesterday. A lot to talk about on both sides, but we got to start with the Bruins in Pasadena. First and foremost, Ryan Dyrud, how are you doing on this Labor Day weekend? We get Monday off. I'm pretty jacked up about that. No office for Will. How you feeling, brother?
What's up, my man? Good. Great to have football back. Long day yesterday for the LA Football Network, but great day, great coverage by you at UCLA. Like you mentioned, I was at USC. So, yeah, it's just great to have it back. I'm ready for this heat wave to be gone, which looks like we're still having it all through the week next week, but we'll get through it and then get some cooler temperatures. And yeah, happy Labor Day weekend, everyone. Hopefully you can celebrate with friends and family and barbecue and relax a little. You know, for me, I'm always working, so never an off day, but hey, can't complain.
I love it, man. I'm working as well, covering these Bruins for you guys. We try to give you the best content we possibly can here at LAFB. Ryan Dyrud, I know you were on your way out to the Coliseum, so you were listening to the game. The first half was ugly for UCLA. There is no doubt about it. We're going to get into the positives, the negatives of what went on for UCLA. But I just want to kind of hear, what was your interpretation of what you saw at the final score for UCLA when everything was all said and done yesterday?
Yeah. So like you said, I was listening to the radio on the way there. And then obviously since then I've watched a lot of the game last night to kind of really be able to chew on it. And concern was how just poorly they came out of the gates with all fall camp, all spring camp, like it just the same system now going into year five, same quarterback, but then you kind of peel it back a little bit, get out of the panic mode. And, you know, there are a lot of new players in the system. Yeah, really a lot of new, the offensive line is brand new, which I know we're going to get to because that is a big concern. But a lot of big new offensive linemen, some new receivers, completely different secondary, not completely different, but a very different defensive scheme. So we knew there'd be some growing pains. I don't think we ever expected it to be a 17-7 deficit that they would have to climb out of, but what I liked to see is the rebound from this Bruin team. And we saw them truly get to a point where we think that they can get, and granted it's against Bowling Green, granted it's, you know, lesser competition, but it's still, you know, got to that point where we saw the offense rolling and we saw the defense. I mean, in reality, yeah, the defense gave up what, 10 points, because they got a muffed punt on the 11 and then a blocked punt for a touchdown. So the defense literally gave up really theoretically 3 points, because that's all they really gave him when they had the field on their side. So I think overall defense looked very good. Offense got things rolling finally. So overall, you know, it is what it is. We'll take it as a win and move on to the next week.
I love it, dude. And what we're going to do is I'm just going to run through the negatives and the positives, and you can just chime in with me if you think there's a good point there, if you want to add anything to it. The losers of this game for UCLA. We'll start off with some negatives, but Bruins fans, we always finish with positives. Like yesterday, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Offensive line was brutal. There was a lot of issues going on there.
DTR was honestly running for his life several times. I mean, even the 66-yard touchdown run he had, which was a thing of beauty, one of the better runs you'll see from a quarterback in the history of UCLA, really brought back shades of that Brett Hundley run on opening college football weekend against Rice, who actually took on USC this past weekend. That was all just him running for his life because he got pressured immediately and had to just kind of, you know, pivot on the fly, turn into a beautiful play. But if you really break down it, he has three guys coming at him, which should have been a loss for any immobile quarterback. So Dorian Thompson-Robinson saved him there. He was oftentimes flushed out of the pocket, had to throw away some balls. He's got, you know, he still has some issues with the ball security and throwing it into tight situations that I'd like to see a little bit improve from Dorian. But to his credit, he was getting no favors done from his offensive line. Derek DiGiorgio had a couple false starts there. Even the interior of the offensive line, the Duke Clemens, the Gaines, Maffey, would have liked to have seen a little bit of strength from them as they're the veterans on this line when you have Raekwon O'Neal, who's a transfer, and DiGiorgio is a redshirt freshman. So just was really not pleased with the O-line play. But the big one for me, ride or die, was the special teams, man. Special teams was as bad as I think I've seen a game in complete effort as I can remember. First thing, the punt is blocked into a touchdown for UCLA. Bowling Green picks it up, runs it in, 7-0 off the bat. Jake Bobo, who was our punt returner in place of Logan Loya, who was out yesterday, muffs the first punt. And then he takes two very questionable punts instead of fair catching. He gets decked immediately, really risking a fumble opportunity there. And then on top of that, Nicholas Barmira misses two field goals, chip shots within 35, 40 yards. That is a complete disaster on special teams. There's no way around it. Special teams was brutal. So we would love to see that cleaned up. And on top of that, I know Loya's not playing, but you have one of the most dangerous return men in the entire country. And Kaz Allen back there is a punt returner. Like, why just give it to the kid? Like, why are we waiting on him? We've seen what he can do in the kick return situation, most notably against USC, was a top 20 in yardage last year, expecting to be top 10 in kickoff return yards this year. So didn't like that. And then just the last thing I have is DTR threw 30 pass attempts in the first half against Bowling Green. That is not a good sign, man. Like, when you're throwing it 30 times against a MAC team that was 4-8 last year. Looks like they're probably going to finish similarly to like how they finished last year. Not a great sign off the bat. The first half was a mess. Definitely cleaned it up after that. Ride or die, did I miss anything of the negatives that went on with the Bruins yesterday?
No, you hit them all. I piggyback off the special teams, and you know, it's all could have, would have, you know, close only matters in hand grenades or whatever that whole saying goes. But our buddy Sam Connan, who I know you've had on the show a bunch, I'm sure you talked to yesterday, but he tweeted out earlier. And I just wanted to, because it just goes right to that point. Like, if Barmira hits those two field goals, his punt doesn't get blocked, recovered for a TD, and Bobo doesn't muff the punt at the 11, UCLA could potentially beat Bowling Green 51-7. So just those terrible miscues on special teams. Yeah, it was still a 45-17 game, still ended up being a rout, still like after the second half, it was a sigh of relief. But now we have to talk about these negatives and talk about these miscues because of that. Whereas if it was a 51-7 game, we'd have been like, all right, that was a great start. On to the next. UCLA looks ready. They look poised. And so what concerns me about that, and again, they got it right, which was the important thing. They got it right in the half. But that's been kind of the thing with this coaching staff overall. And, you know, we're a very pro-Chip network overall. We both have said he was the guy for the job, should have been retained because of what they've been building. But, man, I mean, we didn't even mention that on the first or second punt of the game, Bobo's back there with the same number as someone else playing. So they had to call a timeout because they had to get him a different jersey number on, because you can't have two guys on the field with the same number. I mean, how is that miscue happening in the first week when you've had all offseason? Like, don't you know whose number, unless they had a substitution last minute, which maybe they did that they weren't expecting. But just little things like that are not great. But, and now we'll get probably to the positive part of the show, I'm sure, they turn it around. They got it right. And now going in the next week, you really need to see them, okay, right those wrongs and not have the same things. If they have the same mistakes next week, then we can really start talking a little bit of panic.
Boy, if the special teams is as bad as it was yesterday, it's hard to believe that it can be, because it was a failure across the board. I even forgot about the jersey swap thing. So you add that into the mix of a muffed punt, two near muffed punts on top of that. So he could have had three. With the non-fair catching situations where he just gets decked by three guys at one time, the two missed field goals, the blocked punt. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. Like, I've never heard of a special team situation being that unspecial, no pun intended. So that was big. But I do want to touch back on the offensive line, and I think this is a big key. We lost Justin Fry, the offensive line coach, to Ohio State. Like, this guy was one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. Ohio State.
Not going to talk about enough.
Yeah, they're one of the top five programs within the country. They're not just going to take any average coach. They only take great coaches to come in there and, you know, build with a guy like a Ryan Day and that offense. So losing him is big. I know we got Tim Drevno in there now, and it's more of a learning system. But that small tidbit of information, just losing a quality of a coach in Justin Fry, a guy that has developed DeShaun Ryan, got Alec Anderson to the NFL, that's going to be missed. Like, that, there's no doubt about that. And Bruin fans need to remember that we are working with a new O-line coach. So hopefully some positives come out of that. Ride or die, I'm tired of talking about the negatives. I think I'm going to go to the positives from the game now. And there were a lot of positives, man. That second half was a thing of beauty. After they got to 17, they went scoreless for the rest of the game, pretty much two and a half, three quarters of scoreless action there. So the defense is the winner for me, the big winner out of this game, because we have just been so accustomed as UCLA fans to seeing a defense that has just shit the bed. In other words, just no secondary coverage, very little, you know, we'll generate a pass rush, but we are always allowing the big play. Weren't able to generate, you know, pass rush with the front four. And yesterday it was just a complete difference maker with some of these guys off the edge. I mean, Grayson Murphy came in as advertised. I can say that. Got a sack early in the game. Tackle and a half for a loss. Had another pressure in there. You know, we had high hopes for Grayson and Gabriel Murphy. They came in big. They combined for two tackles for a loss. Grayson Murphy was more of the star of the show in week one, but I expect both of them to be playing huge, huge, moments for UCLA moving forward. The other guy, and I got to give all credit to Mike Regalado on this, Carl Jones, the edge rusher for UCLA. He had been praising him in spring ball and saying, I don't know why this guy's not getting on the field more. Maybe it was a Mitchell Agudé situation, who's now at Miami. But Carl Jones comes in, makes two huge tackles for a loss off the edge. And just to have edge rushers like that, I can't remember. Yeah. You know, it's probably been since Osa Odighizuwa. And that was just a one-time thing. We have multiple talented edge rushers that if they are able to, you know, reach their ceilings, they could go to the NFL. They could make something happen with a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick. You know, in my opinion right now, maybe he can go even higher than that if they're able to test in crazy metrics. So those guys.
Last year, Will, the Bruins' best edge rusher was probably Quantrez Knight.
Think about that. Yeah. And he was playing the striker position. He's a safety. Yeah. So it was, man, when Quantrez Knight is your best edge rusher, you've got a problem at edge, dude. Like, there's just no other way around it. So that was tough to watch in the previous years, but it's so nice just to have a consistent pass rush. They're constantly in the backfield. And yeah, I know it's Bowling Green, but you could just tell the difference that we're able to generate pass rush with just front four, as opposed to sending 7-8 guys, you know, into the box and trying to make something happen. So that was a very, very encouraging sign. You know, we were able to hold, you know, Bowling Green to 162 yards of total offense, 37 yards on the ground, 25 carries, 37 yards. Matt McDonald, you know, was not ideal at the quarterback position. And Rye, one of the big points we had coming in to 2022 was the secondary was going to be better. The secondary is going to be better. Kirkwood came in as advertised. You know, he didn't make a pick or anything like that. Deflected two big balls away on third downs, even generated a pressure off the edge, you know, coming in as a blitzer. He looks the part of an NFL player. And I was sitting next to a commander scout in the booth, and I was like, you got to watch this kid Kirkwood. And when he left, he was like, yeah, that kid's a baller right there. You're right. So Evan Kirkwood, that guy, NFL is written all over this guy. And if he can continue to build up, you know, equity moving forward, this guy could be a first round pick given the size and ability there. So I'm excited for him. And then, you know, just Mwasau's flying around making plays. He made a huge third down stop tackle in the open field, running from the left side of the field to the right. We're looking good, dude. This has a chance. And I said this to Ben Bolch, and I don't know if he fully grasped the statement I made, because I said, as a unit, I think this could be our best pass rushing unit and our best secondary. And I think he interpreted that as best individual talent. Because he's like, no, we had Osa Odighizuwa, or no, we had, who's the corner? They got Darnay Holmes. We had Darnay Holmes in the secondary. And I'm like, yeah, those guys were great. But like, if you look at the metrics of how they finished as a defense, like they were miserable. Like it was not good at all. We were ranked in the hundreds. So I would have to push back on that. But Rye, what did you see from this defense, man? Like I was thoroughly impressed by what we saw. And I know it's Bowling Green, but stoked is the word I'm going with here.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bowling Green, but you still line up against each other between the hash marks, and you still got to play on Saturdays, and you got to go all out, and this defense balled out. I mean, for all the negatives we just opened the show with and the miscues, the defense was far and away nearly flawless. I mean, they played, you mentioned it, 162 total yards, 37 yards on the ground, 2.7 yards per play. They played fantastic from top to bottom. It was a breath of fresh air from defenses we saw of past. I mean, this is a defense last year that, you know, struggled against lesser teams too, and maybe not to the likes of Bowling Green necessarily, but still lesser teams putting up big point totals on them. And obviously we need to see it now continue and progress. And I think it's the beautiful thing about this schedule is they still have two more kind of tune-up games before they get to the real meat of the schedule. So they can just continue to get more on the same page. But I thought the defense overall looked just, they just looked more in tune than they ever have. And they looked like they were all knew what job they had to do. They simplified it overall. McGovern, I think, has simplified the defense overall. Obviously, Ken Norton Jr. brings a fantastic element to the coaching regime as well. And then you mentioned it with the likes of Kirkwood. Mo Osling, I think, had a very good game. And then there's defensive line guys and obviously the linebackers flying around. I think overall that they just looked – they looked like they knew what they were doing, where there were times last year where it was just playing too aggressively and hoping things would work out. And so it was good. I mean, overall, I literally have not a bad thing to say about the defense yesterday because I think they played very, very well. And there should be a lot of excitement about this unit that hasn't had it. And just to piggyback off of that, and I know we'll probably jump over to offense anyway, we talked about the miscues. We talked about the offensive line. The offense still put up 626 yards of offense. So, I mean, the offense still did have a very successful day overall. Again, it was just five or six mistakes early in that first quarter. And then once they kind of got things rolling, it looked like how we expect it to look. And hopefully we'll just see that from start to finish moving forward.
I think you're right, man. And, you know, the one thing Chip has never struggled in is putting up yards and points. So like that, the fact that we're worrying a little bit about the offense, I would like to believe that's going to get shored up at some point. And like you said, we have the luxury of these two tune-up games. If the offensive line could just lock in, you know, these next couple of weeks and just improve a little bit each week, by the time we get to Pac-12 play, we could just be a competent offensive line. That's what we need. We just need competent, no superstars there. Just need to, you know, block and give Dorian just a little bit of time back there to make some plays. So, like that, let's do some more pros with the offense. A lot of stuff going on. We said the offensive line was bad, ride or die. This guy is just a badass. He could thrive in any situation. If you drop Zach Charbonnet in the middle of the wilderness and just like, we're like, find your way back, I feel like he would. He's just that much of a stud. Charbonnet killed it yesterday, man. You know, terrible offensive line, 21 carries, 111 yards, and a touchdown. He had a couple of breakaway touchdowns that got tripped up by like the last man possible too. So he could have easily had 130, 140 with another touchdown to his name. And he got pulled in the third quarter on that too. So guy is just, I mean, you know, he's on the short list of my all-time favorite Bruins. Like Dulcich was my guy last year, but like, just getting 2 years of Charbonnet, like, what do we do to deserve this, Ride or Die? This is just the most beautiful thing in the world as a Bruin fan.
He's so good, so fun to watch. There's those backs when you analyze their film and kind of like how they, you know, prospect to the next level and even at the next level. There's those backs that are, you know, system guys that are very talented runners, athletic, but, you know, they either run better in a zone blocking scheme or a gap skiing, or they need those kind of pushes up front. And then there's guys that are just transcend what's in front of them, and they can make the offensive line look better than they even are. And Zach Charbonnet is one of those guys. I mean, you said it. You said everything. I don't need to repeat it all, but the offensive line was pretty egregious. And the dude just averages 5.3 yards a carry still and just makes guys miss, makes little things out of nothing. And I was also excited, Will, about Keegan Jones. I mean, he looked great too. 10 for 42, getting his kind of first play here at UCLA. So overall, this rushing attack in general, and again, I don't think we need to keep saying it, but we will. I get it. It's Bowling Green, but hey, there's still big bodies up front they got to move against, and there's still the offensive line that's got to create some gaps, and they didn't do a great job of doing it. And these guys found little holes and made guys miss and looked good. So yeah, can't say enough highly about Charbonnet. But yeah, it's good to see some of the guys behind him, you know, get some good shine as well.
Dude, and I think the running back, too, was one of the biggest questions for UCLA football coming in this year. Because Keegan, you know, you saw a little flashes from him, but it was never really consistent. He had the biggest play of his career in this game. He had a 56-yard touchdown catch in the open field for a touchdown. Just a marvelous play from Keegan Jones. Made a guy miss in an embarrassing fashion, took it to the house. And like you mentioned, 10 for 42 on the ground. If you can get that type of production, you know, just close to 100 yards of total offense from your running back two, we'll take that all day at UCLA. So I'm really excited at the progressions Keegan Jones made. Second guy I got for you, and we were begging for this guy to get more touches last year. He averaged 15 yards a catch, 11 yards a carry, was one of the best returners in the country. Kaz Allen got 13 targets yesterday. And for someone that has been beating the drum as a UCLA fan, give this guy the rock. 10 catches, 85 yards, had a touchdown where he made multiple guys miss on a little screen pass from Dorian. I mean, sky's the limit for Kaz Allen. And I think if he is getting these type of targets week in and week out, we could start to be talking about all Pac-12, you know, second or third team if he's able to put it together like this. Because, I mean, Kaz Allen, you know as well as I do, you get the ball in that guy's hands and good things happen. So I'm really, really excited about the influx of targets that Kaz Allen's able to secure.
Yeah, Kaz, I mean, he's just electric. Like, just get the ball in his hands and see what happens. You know, he reminds me a lot of the great Dimitrik Felton, but even faster. And I remember when Dimitrik was here, it was like, the dude just needs the ball and he's going to make guys miss and he's going to make things happen, whether it's on special teams, whether it's out of the backfield, or whether it's in the screen game. And Kaz has that, but he has actually even an extra gear that he can hit as, you know, one of the fastest players in all of college football. So I think this was just a taste. I think it was him. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it was him after the game that even said they really didn't open the playbook at all. Like, they were ran the offense pretty vanilla and like basically alluded to just wait till you see what we can really do when we unleash this offense. And if someone's saying that after, you know, 626 total yards in offense, he himself, again, I think it was Kaz, he himself with, you said, 85 yards and a touchdown. Like, that just excites me that there's going to be some fun looking things that this offense can roll out with him being that DeAnthony Thomas like set piece to really open things up for this entire unit. And the other thing I'll mention about that as a whole, Will, is I liked how much Dorian also spread the ball around. I think last year we saw games when it was literally Kyle Phillips and Greg Dulcich. Like, that was the show. It was those two guys. There was a lot of guys that got looks in this game. Obviously, Kaz led the way in terms of targets, but I mean, you get, you know, Aziki, the new tight end, got a lot of targets. You know, Jake Bobo did get a little bit involved. Josiah Norwood, who hasn't got a lot of shine in the offseason, but he got targeted a lot. You mentioned Keegan Jones, you know, the new Titus. I'm talking fast. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
We'll just go TMA.
TMA. There you go. Yeah. He got targeted after transferring. So great to just see how many guys were involved in the offense as well, as opposed to just one or two, you know, getting all the looks.
You brought up some great points. First, I want to shout out Josiah Norwood, too, was a walk-on in 2018, has just stuck with the program, finally got awarded a scholarship. And the day he does, his first game under scholarship, goes 50 yards, house call. Pretty epic moment for Josiah Norwood there. So got a lot of love for him. Jake Bobo, you know, we were very critical and rightfully so of him on the punt return unit. I think, you know, everyone in the press box was like, what are you doing? Like, it was probably the most distressed we saw the press box, even after the blocked punt, was a Bobo, you know, botched punt and then just him not taking the returns. But he ran very smooth routes and made two huge third down catches moving forward. I think he's going to be a very good receiver in this offense. So still excited for him there. I just don't think he's a punt return guy. And the last point, you brought up Michael Ezeke. I asked Dorian Thompson-Robinson this in the post-game presser. It's actually absurd how much talent he has been able to be around, because he's a fifth-year senior in the tight end room. I mean, Ezeke got, you know, banged up a little bit. I think he's going to be okay from what I've heard. But he – 5 catches, 32 yards in the first half. They bring in Hudson Habermill, 2 catches for 25 yards. Carson Ryan gets 2 catches, 16 yards. Think about how much talent this guy's had in the tight end room. And it's a position he's never had to worry about as a quarterback, because he's had Caleb Williams, Asiasi, and then we know our love for Dulcich. The tight end room's good again. Like, this is a unit that's going to get a lot of targets in the red zone, in the open field. He clearly had chemistry with Habermill and Ezeke out there already. So, man, it's going to be – I'm just shocked. Like, I can't remember, outside of maybe some of the big schools around the country, a tight end unit being this secure for UCLA, right?
It's wild that UCLA in the last, 15 years, the offensive systems, you know, we've seen Norm Chow, we've seen Jed Fish, we've seen now Chip Kelly, and yet always the standard has been the great tight end play. So it's just somehow it's they always are able to recruit tight ends well. They're able to fit them well, even though the offensive systems are different. But yeah, they have it again this year. And that was, to me, that was almost it was the offensive line, the tight ends were the biggest kind of question marks, just when you lose someone of the caliber of a Greg Dulcich and how much he meant in not just receiving, but in, you know, a blocking inline tight end also. But, you know, if yesterday showed anything, they're definitely in good hands, and I'm excited to see those guys continue to grow and continue to be utilized more. And again, it's just great that DTR, I mean, this might be the, Kyle Phillips might be the best overall receiver he's played with in his career at UCLA, but this might be the deepest overall receiving unit he's ever had in his 5 years at UCLA. And I think that will allow him to be more comfortable, and hopefully we won't see him do things like we saw him do in that first quarter where he just makes a poor decision and just throws the ball right to a Bowling Green player, because now he has all these options and he's not looking at one or two guys. So overall, it's going to end up being great for him in his last year here in Westwood.
And I think that's just a common theme of the team this year. You know, we're expecting double-digit wins this year for UCLA. And the area, the one word I would point to for the majority of the roster, maybe outside the offensive line, is just depth. There's a lot of dudes in a lot of places that can make some impacts for UCLA. We're going to have everything covered for you. Hopefully we have another credential coming our way for the South Alabama game next week. So hopefully we'll be there tweeting everything going on. Ride or die, you were at the Coliseum for Lincoln Riley's, you know, debut opener. And we're going to have to add some booze in here, you know, just spray them in for the Bible, because we do not mess with USC. But what was that experience like? Because I obviously watched the game. I came away very impressed. Our buddy Shane Lee from Media Day, who gave us the Mount Rushmore comedies, had a huge pick six, a couple tackles for a loss. He was looking great. Caleb Williams, as advertised, receiving corps was great. Give me your thoughts, man, because that is – I really feel like LA football is officially back in college with the likes of Chip and Lincoln, you know, being at the peak of their powers here.
Yeah, no, you hit it. Absolutely. It was fun to finally see them out there. All this hype in this offseason, you know, they've been the talk of not just the town, but the talk of the nation. You know, USC is a national football brand, and it's fallen just such on bad times the last decade. And so when the move happened, Lincoln Riley and all this, it was back in the limelight. And it was like, all right, college football aspirations, obviously Pac-12 aspirations, but we still had to see it. I mean, it was a brand new system, brand new team with all the transfers that came in and whatnot. So again, similar to UCLA and Bowling Green, you get a Rice team, much lesser, much more inferior competition, but you still want to see how this group would go out there and play and perform. And the offense was as advertised. I mean, they punted once, and it was after the second unit came in. Caleb Williams and his unit did not punt a single time. They scored in every possession. They moved the ball at will. The offensive line, which, again, I know it's going up against Rice, but the offensive line was the one kind of, other than Andrew Voorhees, it was like, how good is this unit going to be? And we'll get a really good taste next week against Stanford.
Yeah.
But the offensive line was unbelievable in how they blocked. I mean, Caleb Williams had all day back there, barely had to move around in the pocket. You watch that game, and it's like, and I don't want to show disrespect to the Owls, but it was like there was no defenders because the receivers just had so much space. Caleb Williams would drop back, and there wouldn't be a guy within 5 yards of each receiver when he'd hit a guy. Now, and that's partially him reading the right reads also as well, and just really finding that open guy. The running game was very efficient. Austin Jones with 2 touchdowns. Troy Dye actually didn't even play all that much, but when he did, he looked like typical Troy Dye. Relique Brown, freshman.
Yeah.
Very Reggie Bush-esque with the speed over the edge, had the Heisman pose in the end zone. And the last thing I'll say, Will, before, I don't know if you want to get into it and have other questions, but the defense in the beginning looked concerning, like everyone expected.
Yeah.
It was like, what was going to be the defense was going to look like? Opening possession for Rice, they drove right down the field and scored, converted multiple third down conversions. They let him go down another time and score. After that, though, similar to like UCLA as a whole did, they buttoned things up. They ended up with 4 interceptions, 3 pick sixes, which is a Pac-12 and a USC record, and did not allow more than 60 yards total in the entire second half. So they button things up. Kalen Bullock's a star on the back end. The linebackers are really good with Shane Lee and Raylan Goforth. The rest of the secondary and some of the interior defensive line, that's where there's still going to be question marks. And again, they're going to get a great test against Stanford next week. But overall, very, very good takeaways, including the defense, who really turned things around after those first couple possessions.
Dude, and I had to tweet it out because I do some stuff for the LAFB Twitter. It was raining pick sixes. I mean, I walked into a bar and it's like 10 minutes because I'm on my way from Anaheim. I left Pasadena. I'm like, I got to see what this SC team looks like. Plus Ohio State, you know, Notre Dame's on, Utah, Florida's on in the back. It's just a great opening weekend of college football. I had to get some football in. And I'm there for 10 minutes, and USC already puts up like two pick sixes. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a problem, you know? So if they could just win the turnover battle, I'm not expecting three pick sixes ever again, maybe from USC in a game. But, like, if they can just win the turnover battle by that, their defense can have flaws, but if they can force turnovers, like, they're going to be just fine. And I think the hype was matched for me, you know, just seeing what that team was capable of. Even Miller Moss, I want to give a shout-out, came in off the bench – 6 of 7, 81 yards. He's spinning it, dude. So that dude can start at like pretty much every other Pac-12 school right now. So, man, I mean, USC has got it. It's unfortunate to say as a guy that covers the Bruins and, you know, LAFB, but, man, they are good. Ride or die. Just wanted to thank you for coming on, man. Hopefully we'll have more content for you guys coming this week with us being at either the Rose Bowl. We can guarantee Stanford game is on the road for USC. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah. Up at the farm. Yeah.
So we'll be watching that in person. We may even do a live stream with that or something fun. We'll keep you guys posted on that. But LAFB, man, we are officially back, and even better, we're going to have Rams and Chargers stuff next week to talk about too. So life is good, ride or die. Football season is here. No complaints on our end. Much love to everyone following the Bruin Bible. We'll be back very soon this week. Much love, guys. Bruin Bible. We are